Welcome to the 1870 Hour, presented by New Vision and the Port Club, coming to you live on Port Adelaide Fan Radio, a fan-driven online radio station dedicated to the Port Adelaide Football Club. I'm Al, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil and the Fox, as we discuss rounds 1 through 4 of 2001. How you going, guys?
Good.
G'day.
How are you? So oh, we're back, mate. There was a bit of a Twitter meltdown last week when we didn't do our show. I mean, yes. There was about 2 to 3 tweets. Where are they?
My phone was just running hot. It was getting so annoying, man. Like, just nonstop. Dude, what's going on?
Where is the 1870 hour? People are shattered. I reckon probably flowed through into the Port Adelaide Football Club's performance as well. The players would generally be jumping on a Tuesday evening to hear what us brilliant experts have to say, and the show wasn't there, so
I think it affected their preparation.
I think so, because they want to know what we think of the game and key matchups and stuff, and have it, so they didn't have anything to work through or something.
It was shizen. Before we get into 2001, we better have a recap on the debacle that was the game against Footscray. So how bad was that?
Actually, the Western Bulldogs now, but nice work.
Nah, that's all right. I'm just devastated.
Them as Footscray.
Do you know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of hearing the words debacle this season, because I've actually heard this on air a few times. I'm shattered. This is. I was at the game. Didn't you know I was at the game?
No.
I was at the game.
And he was very loose.
What an idiot.
We were just talking about it like 10 minutes ago.
No, I wasn't really listening.
Apparently not.
So tell us more. Sounds interesting.
What do you want to know?
At what point did you give up?
I reckon, well, first 15 minutes, I was thinking, this is going all right, isn't it? And I was having a bit of a, because, you know, there was predominantly Western Bulldogs fans around. But, like, it wasn't a big crowd, obviously. But, you know, I'm having a little look over to the fella on the right with his kid and just, time with kicking goals and just, you know, giving him a bit of a smart ass sort of grin and clapping and enjoying it, and yeah, that lasted for all of 15 minutes, and then it kind of sucked. I reckon that second term was close to the worst quarter of footy I've seen us play in a few years.
By
half time, I was fairly drunk.
That was one of the more pathetic quarters of football you'll ever see. Like, my goodness me, our midfield has just been getting absolutely poleaxed all season, and that really encapsulated our poor form that whole quarter. Just could not get our hands on the ball. One point was like 70 touches to 29 or something like that. Like, they were just getting it out of the middle, long, mark, goal, whatever. You know, when we did get it out of the middle, we were just inept up forward. I blame the Hoff.
Are you blaming the Hoff and his miss?
15 meters out, slight angle.
That was terrible.
You know, grow up, mate. Can't you concentrate for more than 10 minutes at a time? God, he infuriates me.
You know, the thing is, like, it's become a bit of a standard with him. Missing those goals that you think he's gonna
absolutely
gonna kick, that he should kick, that anyone should kick. And then, you know, he'll pull out a couple of, like, you know, he had a couple of great goals the week before. But
I just have no confidence with him in front of goal. Big moments. There's no one that I would less rather have a big moment in a football game than Westhoff. Like, he is, like, you know, the kick after the siren in a grand final. If he had it, I would think we've lost the grand final, you know, 99 times out of 100. He's just not, you know.
Do you remember his kick after the siren?
His GWS one. Yeah, that worked well. That ended Primus's career. The thing is, though, like, you can't say he's not a big game player, because he tends to lift most of the time for showdowns, and, you know, he's been massive in a few showdowns, which, you know, doesn't get a lot bigger than that. And but just, yeah, his inconsistency. Like, from one week to the next, from one quarter to the next, and then in front of goal. He's probably one of the most inconsistent players I reckon I've ever seen play.
Well, we've actually got a tweet in regards to the Hoff, and Marchie tweets actually stated that you can't blame the Hoff. So no, I think
what would Marchie know?
I'm not sure what he knows.
Marchie's the bloke that said Australia would win the Ashes 5-0.
Well, we will be getting Marchie to come on later. Cred.
Is Marchie coming on the show?
Yeah, Marchie's coming on the show to do his Ashes review. So that now, could be. We have to talk to him about Shane Watson coming back on.
Well, what about the one time you tried to have someone call Ferrell? How'd that work out for you?
Barry Curtin, wasn't it?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Is that the one where Al was talking over the top and all the listeners could hear his conversation with Barry on the phone?
No.
They couldn't.
They couldn't hear it, but we could. But Al didn't tell us that we were going to be able to hear him. So
that
we
was the
going,
most embarrassing
it?
Moment of my media career life.
Would it, listeners, go back and have a listen to it. Oh, no, that's right. We didn't even put it on.
Yeah,
like it was
shelved
because it was that bad.
That bad, we had to get it professionally edited.
Hang on. No, we did have it on, didn't we? And we edited it, so all our stuff up was edited out, and then I made a mistake.
That's right.
I can't remember what it was, but
you got the rounds wrong.
I got the round wrong, right? That was left on there, wasn't it? That was fine. I started talking about like a completely different round. Anyway, yeah, so that game was crap.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy being there. But the kids were there and I was...
You were drunk?
Well behaved. No, I was very well behaved.
There's so many passengers in the side at the moment, isn't there? Like, you know, you look at who wins their position most weeks and I reckon I could say, you know, Travis Boak, I reckon he's had a pretty solid season. Wingard obviously has had a great season. He's probably close to our BNF. Homsch has sort of tailed off in the last 4 or 5 weeks to be like he's been smashed a couple of times. Before that, he was okay. Gray probably he'd get a pass mark. And now I'm starting to struggle to think of who would get a pass mark other than those guys.
Mm.
What do you reckon?
I'm just saying, Marchie's just bagged. Just saying it was Gold Coast after the Siren Fox, which is true.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Both clubs with no history.
Like this season's just terrible.
So who else gets a pass mark?
That would involve me having listened to the names you just said.
So Gray.
You said Boak. Gray. Wingard.
Maybe
Wines.
Oh, maybe Homsch definitely.
Yeah, Wines does. Yeah.
Wines when he's played.
Well, it's not his fault. He's had an injury. He still gets a pass mark.
No, I'm not bagging him for being injured. Calm down, Nick.
He's only a kid.
Calm down. Who else gets a pass mark? There's not... Bobby was playing well before he got injured.
Yeah.
And he tried to carry it for a few weeks too long.
I'm seriously struggling to think who else would actually...
Yeah, it's an indictment on our season and the team because, like, basically everyone would have got a pass mark last year.
Yeah.
And
everyone played their role last year.
Who else rotates through the midfield?
What's that?
I'm just thinking about the midfield. Surely there's got to be another winner there apart from Gray, Boak, Wines, but I guess not really. Hartlett, and that's been Hartlett actually probably.
He's been all right the last few weeks.
The last month since he's been running off a half-back flank, he's been okay. It's because I was, as you know, scathing of his form. I reckon if he has a good end to the season, like from now on, he probably just gets a pass, but he's got a bit of ground to make up. But I think that's been our biggest problem, and it's a real worry because, you know, if Schultz goes, and I'm not convinced he will go, but... it seems like we've got gaps everywhere again, you know, like when we started losing, it's like, oh yeah, maybe there's just a few little holes we need to fill. But now it's like our midfield has been just pantsed week after week. Like, you know, Lobie can barely win a tap to advantage. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, mail that we don't have a first ruck that, you know, wins any taps to advantage. That's been the big difference is just, the reading of the ruck and whatever. And So you're down a first ruck, you know, your sort of second and third rotations through the midfield have been just getting smashed when, you know, our gun midfield setup's not there. And a key forward that we've been longing for. So it seems to me there's gaps everywhere again. Do you know what I mean? Bobby's injury. There is. You know, what do you go for in the draft? I mean, I'd sort of think you've got to go best midfielder again.
Yeah. What do you reckon? Do you reckon if we get Dixon, do you reckon Chiltsey's gone?
Oh, definitely. We can't afford to have both of them.
I don't want to get Dixon, seriously.
Really?
Nah. We can't afford to lose our first and second pick again. We need to go into the draft this year. I'll be pissed if we get Dixon. Like, how's the Ryder deal panned out?
Oh, I think there's a bit more time before you can judge that.
Oh yeah, for sure. But he's 26, and now we've got no first and second pick that's going to be coming through. Like, I don't know. I think we're in 3 or 4 years' time. There's a massive chance that we won't win a premiership, given where other teams are in their premiership window. But we're going to be effectively up in, you know, a couple of years, we're going to be up against a rampaging GWS. And when we've spent four picks on two players and we don't have a first and second round draft pick for 2 years, that is going to absolutely destroy us. We'll be like the Crows, you know.
But Nick, the thing that you need to realise is that previously we'd gone through the draft taking picks and picks and picks, and so we had a young team. So we could afford to have a year where we only got like late round picks because we had such a young group. We don't have that top end like age bracket where we're like worried. Like most of our players are like 26, 27. We don't have a 30-year-old or what have you. So we had a really young squad. So we could afford to have that year or even 2 years with that potentially happening. I'm not going to say we want to have both our first and second round picks traded away for Dixon. I'm not saying that. But if they do make that decision, we've got a list profile that we could probably absorb it.
All right, here's my issue, is that, in my opinion, the problem with Port Adelaide at the moment is our last six players selected every week are poor. So we're rotating in guys like Mitchell, Sam Gray, you know, these types of guys, Andrew Moore, you know, unnamed carbon inanimate rod, and getting the same O'Shea. Result. Yeah, well, I rate O'Shea, but he's been average the last few weeks. So you got these guys like in our bottom four or five or six that really aren't contributing, and they're just getting, it's like shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic. So you can't give away your first two picks. Those first two picks need to count so that we're, you know, the quality is pushing down the list. At the moment, our bottom six just gets exposed week on, week out. We need as much talent as we can get in that side, not just focusing our talent on a few guys. Dixon's got a dodgy ankle. If he goes down, man, and we lose two picks, I would be so angry. First round pick, no way, cannot go. The
word is, though, that this draft is pretty average.
Mate, if you can't get a good pick in the first 10...
Pick 7, mate. Ollie Wines. There's always cream in every season.
People will throw up names, you know, of people. Like, someone put up names of pick 7s that haven't made it in the last sort of 15 years, and there's a lot of pick 7s that you've never even heard of. But, you know, you've got to trust your recruiting staff. I've not seen enough of Dixon to think that he's going to be anything awesome. I mean, maybe he will, but, like, I don't know, where do you fit Westhoff, Lobe, Redden, Dixon, Ryder, Trengove, Carlisle?
Butcher!
Yeah, well.
He's done.
Yeah. So I don't know. My honest opinion is, don't really care about Dixon either way, but really don't want to give up first two picks and don't want to break up the core of the group by trading someone away. That's my tip.
I don't know. I'm hoping it's one of those off years where, you know, you just come back next year. But I don't know. I don't reckon that's necessarily going to happen. And I reckon a lot of people are sort of comparing, you know, Geelong in 2006 to 2007 and people are almost thinking that's going to happen with we're automatically, this is just a shit year and we're going to be fine next year. But I reckon that's a dangerous way of thinking.
Let me ask you this. Can you see Port Adelaide winning a grand final with a team consisting of Sam Gray, Kane Mitchell and Andrew Moore?
In fairness, Sam Gray's been pretty damn good the last couple of weeks.
Last week he was all right.
I like Andrew Moore in theory. And
Why do you like Andrew Moore?
Because he's I've watched him at SANFL level and he's big nine and I want him to do well.
Yeah, he's a good
SANFL. I don't dislike him, but he hasn't shown enough. But if he's your depth sort of player, I don't think that's a bad thing. Kane Mitchell, I'm not a massive fan of. Bigger fan of him after that Nord game, though, when he got stuck into one of the Nord officials. it's funny, something like that makes me a fan of him. But they're depth players. Every club has them. Like your best team, they shouldn't be getting a game. They might, you know, get a game every now and then. But, you know, I'd probably rate Andrew Moore a reasonable amount. I reckon he does have an upside. Sam Gray's been all right. I reckon he's I can't see him really having a big career, but Kane Mitchell, not a massive fan of. But I think every team's got those sort of players, to be honest. The bottom line is we were pretty good the last couple of seasons. So there's the team's there on paper. We can do all right. Fingers crossed it is that bad season and next season we come back strong.
Did you know Simon Pedler was drafted by the Crows at pick 55 in the 93 preseason draft?
I know.
I did not know that.
Well, it's on the Port Adelaide FC.com.au website.
There you go.
Port Adelaide's draftee since 1986. 1993 preseason draft, pick 55, Simon Pedler, Adelaide Crows, zero AFL games.
Well, Marchie actually sent a tweet in regards to Simon Pedler. The Fox speaking some sense for once. What can we trade for Pedler Fox?
Bag of chips.
And Bevan's also sent in that he's glad that we're back. We will never be a plastic franchise. Real club, real history.
That's it, Bevan. So, he speaks sense, that boy. If you read his Twitter feed, he's on the money with a lot of things.
We like Bevan.
Rate him highly. It's a bit mischievous. Course of mayhem on the 1870 hour one night. He tapped into Alistair, to our vulnerability around technology.
Every week.
Yep.
And Alistair has no idea.
But hey, we've got a quiz question this week.
Alistair, what do you think about Andrew Moore, Alistair?
Well, he's a ranger. So
he's ranger. A bit of an issue. He's not like a full on.
For a bloke with no hair, that's a big call.
Yeah.
You would rather look like a ranger than have no hair.
Me? Are you talking about me?
Either. Neither of you have a lush rug like myself.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Hey, I tell you what. Let's think. Who's got like real red hair like that?
Mitch Harvey.
Mitch Harvey.
See, okay, good point. You'd rather be bald than Mitch Harvey.
You could dye it blonde.
Well, no, you
just
can't.
Put some streaks through it. Put some streaks through it. You could say.
I swear to God, if Mitch Harvey's listening, which I'm sure he is, he would welcome baldness.
Otherwise he'd shave it off. The only issue would be the orange eyebrows.
Well, that's one of many issues. The fact that you've got like bright red hair is crap.
Dude,
you probably have bright red hair. You're a powder, so
right now, if I had bright red hair, if I had a choice between bright red hair, like the not red, red's like that bloody carrot orange hair.
Carrot
or
top.
Bald. Bald every day, mate. You and would. I'm like, oh, I'm Devo. I have a dream probably every 2 weeks about having hair again.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. You're bald when I met you, and I think you were 15 then.
Mate, I had like blue hair when you met me, mate. It was awesome.
Yeah, but there wasn't much there even when you were 21.
Crap.
What about you, Al? Would you rather be bald or have the ringer going on?
I'd rather be bald. I'm a self-aware man. I'm happy with my lot in life.
Alistair, but you're still holding on to very little hair. At least I accept
that. I have a mong-shaped head. I have a mong-shaped head. That if I actually do...
That's true.
That if when I shaved my head, it looked disgraceful. I will even tweet a photo of me with bald hair. I'm going to tweet a photo. The worst
moustaches I've ever seen.
Oi, my moustaches rock. Movember every year, I want all our Port Fan Radio listeners. I'll be looking for support in November, but
from yes. Bevan and Margie. That's it.
I'll tell you what.
I might chuck in a couple of dollars.
You bloke sitting there carrying on about not being a ranger, and Alistair's got probably the worst facial hair you've ever seen. Hypocritical much?
Yeah, my facial hair is bloody grey as.
Yeah.
I'm freaking 35 years old. I'm bald. I've got grey facial hair.
Your tats are faded.
Nah,
you got a beer gut.
Colour pretty well. They get the colour pretty well, the tats.
But
it's because I don't get out in the sun.
You still got that pentagram on your arm?
Yep. And I've got my new one. How cool is my new one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Real cool.
It is.
Awesome. Guys, I've got a quiz question for this week.
Have you added tats down below, Phil, or are you kept away from that area?
What do you mean? I'm a noodle.
Yeah.
Nah, you wouldn't think you'd get that done, would you?
Oh, no, you got it pierced. I don't know.
Welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I'll avoid that. Although I'm going to get my leg sleeved next.
mate.
That's awesome. Now, I've got a quiz question. For, 2001, how many players played all 24 games for Port Adelaide? Just the number. You don't need to say the players that did it, but how many played all...
I know the answer.
That's awesome. But we're wanting our listeners to tweet in.
Can I get the win?
I don't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't earlier.
I didn't read the script.
See, Al's brilliant. Like every week, he sends us a he sends me and Foxy a rundown of the show, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to say, and then we'll throw to this, and we'll throw to this, and then every week it starts off, and we, he says, jump on at 7:45, and Foxy and I rock up at 5:02. It's like, oh, have you read the running sheep? Yeah, nah.
Didn't even know he sent it to me today.
And look, how awesome are we just winging it, Foxy?
That's right.
We don't need to be scripted out.
Devin doesn't seem to mind it. Our one listener seems okay with it.
He's all right with it.
We just had
how many people downloaded our show last week, Al?
We didn't have any show, so nobody downloaded our show. Zero.
It's about the normal.
Our podcasts are highly sought after on the iTunes account. We've had more tweets. Jay to the Fat. I trust Fox on being stylish. He's a stylish make after all.
It's true, Dad. G'day, old mate JT. Sitting in sunny Canberra.
Well, it's probably warmer than Adelaide is at the moment.
I reckon he'd be playing PlayStation with a bit of FIFA, probably at amateur level.
Do you know what you need to do, Fox? Is act like you don't know who's tweeting in, so then it sounds like we've actually got people the show without feeling obliged because they know us.
Well, next Thunder time your mum tweets in, I'll do that, all right?
Thunder Power has just tweeted in 33 players played all 24 games. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but it's Thunder a quiz Power. Guess, I suppose.
Well off the money.
My Twitter's gone. It's not working.
How do you tell? I can't see the tweets.
Just type in.
Yeah.
Twitter.com.
Yeah, I'm there.
All right, and then chuck in.
You search for tweet at Port Fan Radio.
Oh, you search for tweet at?
I don't know. I just
at Port Fan Radio.
I don't even do that.
So yeah, tweet how many
at Port Fan Radio?
This is, we're so professional.
Well, oh, Foxy, mate, you can't work technology, so pot calling the kettle black, but that's okay. Phil, do you have a joke for this week?
I don't.
Oh, that's all right. We might have to replace it with Marchie's Ashes review. So
yeah, no, I don't have one.
Where is Marchie? Call
in, Marchie. He'll be coming on a bit later. We'll get him to call in.
I wonder if old mate Pipes Hartlett's listening. And Macca.
Pipes Hartlett. Don't know.
Well, did you see Rick toss the coin?
Yeah.
Against the Saints?
In a salmon shirt?
I think that's a nice way of saying it was pink.
Yep.
It was pretty pink. Either that or he put his white shirt in with the red.
Yeah, it made his guts protrude a bit though, didn't it?
I'm not going that far. I can't even get into Twitter, so I'm sure we've got heaps of tweets coming
through. Yeah, I can't do it either.
My computer's frozen, which is probably based on the websites my wife goes on.
Oh, I don't want to know the websites your wife goes on.
If you're married to me, you need to rely on those sort of websites because I'm not very good at stuff. I'm trying Twitter again. Okay, talk about something out. We sound really unprofessional. You're supposed
to be the host. I've seen one from Bevan. I don't know how, but it said he wasn't impressed that there wasn't a Port Fan Radio last week. I'm assuming he means the 1870 hour.
Yeah, he's pretty devastated.
What happened to Lauren? Where'd she go?
Don't know. She listens to it on the podcast in the gym. So she loves getting referenced every week, but...
Well, tweet it. Ask.
Oh, yeah. Bevan said, bullshit, no joke, nothing last week, killing me.
Yeah, I know.
All right, I'll try and think of a joke.
But that's all right. Nothing. Hey, what about...
When I caught up with Phil's mum, she was pretty upset that we didn't have a show last week as well.
You're not the only one who caught up with my mum.
Her moustache is going well.
It is, isn't it? It is.
That's all right. Better is it a ranga moustache?
Enough about my mum.
Your mum's awesome.
She's
now,
dead, and you're just paying her out.
So have you got a joke or what?
No, I don't have a joke. I don't.
You don't have a joke? What I'll about 2001?
Okay, let's talk about that.
We'd had a pretty poor year in 2000.
We had.
We traded away a top five pick.
Who was that?
We traded pick four for Daryl Wakeland from St Kilda.
Oh, yeah.
Who they on traded to Carlton for Aaron Hamill. And Carlton picked a bloke, an awesome, awesome key defender in Luke Livingston. I think he played about 10 games for Carlton. So that was pretty good for us. And the bloke that we were going to pick up at pick four, no matter what, was still available at pick 12, which we'd picked up for trading Matthew Bode to the Cows. And that was Sean that? Burgoyne.
Sean, your mate.
Yeah, Port Lincoln lad. So Sean Burgoyne.
Does he know that he's your mate or...
Oh, mate, we go way back.
Okay,
way back.
If we were walking down the street, right, and I was hanging out with you and you walked past Sean Burgoyne, would he stop and say, g'day, Al?
Probably.
Probably.
Yep. Probably. In other words, no.
I remember going up to, like, a mate of mine's friends with Mick O'Loughlin, and I remember being at a game and... Oh, this is going to sound really bad, but Ricky O'Loughlin was at the game and I'd had a few beers. I'm like, oh, do you know Alistair Carlton? And he's like, nah. And I'm like, he reckons you're like heaps good mates. And then I remember it wasn't Ricky O'Loughlin.
I've never met that bloke in my life.
And I'm like, he's full of it, mate. He reckons, like, you go way back. He's like, nah, I haven't heard of him. And I felt like an idiot because I'd never met this bloke before. And I was... Anyway, So
awesome. Old mate JT reckons the biggest joke going around is Port Adelaide. How bad's that? You're listening to a Port Adelaide show and you're ripping out jokes like that. Can we ban him somehow?
No, we can't.
I still can't get into Twitter. I've just worked out my wife is sitting here watching me.
When's Marchie coming on?
I think about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. But, hey, sorry, 2000...
We're 10 to 15 minutes away from some massive technical issues then.
Yes, we are. That's all right.
Marchie's just got to call in. It's not hard. You just got to not mute everyone, Alistair.
It's very true. Very true. But 2001, we got Kane Corns and Sean Burgoyne. They were our two first and second round picks. We decided to pick up Kane Corns rather than Daniel Kerr.
Far out, there's some good names, isn't there?
Yep. So, it was a good year and we did really well. So, we had a reasonable ANZAC Cup. We actually beat the Bombers, who were the reigning premiers from the year before. So, we got some reasonable form. We had people like guys in the park. Like we had Stewie Jew, Chad Corns, Tread Ray, Mead, Schofield. They're all playing really good pre-season form. And we had our first game was against the Lions, who were touted as a top four contender at the beginning of the season. And they were playing at Footy Park. And they came out of the blocks pretty hard. And we didn't even kick a goal in the first quarter. And, like, we were complete shizen.
Like, I got to clarify, JT's just... messaged in and said he didn't actually mean the club was a joke. He just meant the way we played on the weekend was a joke, which I think we can all agree with. So sorry for getting that wrong there, old mate.
But, carry on. We played like that first quarter. We played like the 2000 Port, basically for three quarters of the game. It was like overly defensive. Like we weren't playing that with attacking flair. We were down 3 points to 21 at quarter time, and then it was 25 points to 47 at half time. So they were up by 22. And then in the third, we actually got a bit of a run on and kicked 10 goals in the third quarter. So we kicked 10 goals to four and took the lead. We're up by 19 points at three quarter time. And then we went back. Guess what? Ultra defensive again, and we went 14 goals 15.99 to 14 goals 9.93, and we won by 6 points. We had a couple of club debuts. Kane Acklin, who I am the biggest, he's probably got the biggest P heart that's ever worn the Port Adelaide Guernsey. I'm not a fan, but he made his debut. I think he got one touch for the day.
Bigger P heart than Jared Poulton.
Oh, mate, if you put Jared Poulton's heart in Kane Acklin's body, you would have had a legend, because Kane Acklin had a lot of football ability but just didn't have the heart to go with it. You put Jared Poulton's heart in that boy's body, it could have been anything.
Probably would have died, because it would have been a pretty serious heart transplant operation. And I don't think he would have been a footballer, because if he had a heart transplant, probably not going to be an AFL footballer.
Well, that's what Kane Acklin wasn't. He wasn't an AFL footballer.
So don't throw anything to me at the moment, because I've got nothing.
And then, that was the start of really the dynasty of amazing games between Port and Brisbane, really, wasn't it, that one?
No, I think we had a couple prior.
Draws and stuff.
Yeah, a couple of draws in the first few seasons.
Well,
just acknowledge you're wrong.
Whatever.
Well,
do you know your computer doesn't even work?
I know. I've got that bloody, you know that, any of you guys got a Mac?
Yeah.
Nah.
You know, the thing with the little pie wheel thing that just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool.
And,
basically Jared Schofield was amazing that day. He was, our best player by a significant margin. He played an absolute blinder and kicked a great goal. Primus controlled the ruck, was pretty dominant in there. basically giving our midfielder first use. And Brent Guerra, was speaking of people with no hair.
Hey, played a rock. What did he do though? Did he get something, or is he wearing like a really cool wig?
No, he got transplants or something, because he didn't like being bald like us. Yeah, if I had the money, maybe I'd do it as well.
Hold on, bald like you two, we're not all bald.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but okay, you've got Al and I who are bald, and then you've got Nick who's 4'4". So.
That's right. And
bald or a midget, what would you prefer? At least we can get on rides.
That's right. My daughter's taller than you, Fox.
Not true.
Cocky played all right. Cockatoo Collins played one of his best games for Port Adelaide up to that point in his 100th AFL game. Basically, Josh Carr tags Voss to the bench. Like, he was amazing. Michael Voss. Basically, if Michael Voss went to the bench, so did Josh Carr. Like, he was our first tagger. Kane Corns, nah, it was Josh Carr, and what he did was fantastic.
Have you done anything about getting that cat on this show?
Yeah, we've done it. We've sent a request through to the media team at Port Adelaide to see whether we can get him on the show.
To get Josh Carr on the show?
Yeah. No, they're trying, mate.
Really?
Yeah.
No, we're trying to get Josh Carr on the show because we'd like to talk to him about the current squad and what's going on, but also to talk about...
Listeners, I'm going to ask him live on air if he will sign my 2004 Premiership thing if I take it to him down the club. How's that? That doesn't happen every day.
And what if he says no? What would you do?
Oh, mate. Were you there when I tried to shake Steve Williams' hand when he was walking off the ground?
I don't know, was I?
I can't remember if you were. I was pretty drunk, but he just walked straight past me. I would be about as gutted as I was that day. Mate, it's like, dude, it's 3/4 time. He's walking to the coach's box. I'm like, yeah, he still should.
Did he shake his hand?
Yeah, as he was walking off after the huddle break. I put my hand out, he just walked straight past.
You just walked up to him.
Yeah, why not?
While he's coaching, just chuck at
him. Mate, I was plastered. It's okay. Oh, it ruined my day, though, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, well, you probably ruined his day, let's be honest.
Yeah. Did you move your hand up to the hair and act like you were just trying to style your hair?
Nah, I just stood there, like, blank. Like, did that really happen?
Did anyone laugh?
If I was there, they were just calling me a drongo, like, why would you do that, mate? And I'm like, well, what's the big deal? It's just a handshake.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Sorry. He'd remember it.
I've lost it.
He'd probably go, who was that knob? But
back to Josh Carr. So mate, if he is live on air, you watch the tweets come in, people will be scrambling to get a gig, speak to Josh Carr, best ever tagger the club's had, and Fox's favourite Port Adelaide player of all time.
He's my favourite AFL Port Adelaide player.
Yeah, who's your favourite SNFL player?
Look, a few to choose from.
I saw someone today compared
Billy Frampton.
Billy
Frampton to Darren Smith. I did read that also.
I thought
on Big Footy, and the first person I thought of when that reference was made was you also, Phil.
Can we get Darren Smith on the show? Can someone do
I've
that?
I've got no idea.
No one knows just where he is, mate.
If we look up Smith in the phone book.
And look up D. Smith.
Just get someone to make a shitload of phone calls. And I don't care if it's not even him. Let's get a Darren Smith on the show.
In a few days before you quit your job, just get out the white pages and just start at Smith D and work down.
Cool. Archie's just got stuck into you. I'm sure the listeners care about getting something signed, Fox.
Well...
No, he's had a dig.
My win is the listener's win at the end of the day.
Yep.
We're all one big family.
Yeah, but Thunder Power has also tweeted in that 2001 was his first full year as a Port Adelaide supporter. Pre-season grand final was my highlight of the footy year. Still his top 10 all time. Good work. I think I was actually talking to the Fox today And I think 2001 was when we started kind of going to the footy together, Fox.
When you started dodging your round.
Oh, no. That's somebody that doesn't go on this show. His name is Gavin Turner. Maybe he dodged his rounds any opportunity that it was available.
You do three rounds, and then when it got his turn, now I'm not drinking anymore.
I never used to go to the footy with you guys because you just weren't classy enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I used to want to go around and catch up with you so I could talk to your dad. Because your dad's a top bloke.
Phil, was that Andy Abbott that said to you that time when he was walking off and he said, I hope your court case goes well? Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I do.
That was great. And some bloke turned around and said, you'll be right, mate, or something like that, didn't he?
Gives me a fist pump. Yeah, you'll be fine, man. No. The police too.
Just to clarify, Phil had no court case. I had no court case. Just being silly. It's a sort of trick Bevan would pull on someone, I reckon.
Yeah, it would be.
Where's Marchie?
Oh, he's coming on soon, I think. So,
Holy but Marchie. Sitting there looking at ESPN.
What are we up to? We're up to round two now, aren't we?
Yeah, round two.
Let's just make this it. Round two, do two rounds this week.
Port had form against the Bombers after smashing them in the Ansett Cup, and we started pretty well. We're playing at the Docklands. Had in front of 34,000 people, and people thought, Port Adelaide might have a shot here, coming against the reigning premiers, but we were the night premiers, and so
that was bloody one game the year before as well.
Yep, against the Bulldogs.
But, was it against Melbourne? Oh, no, they played Melbourne. Yep, you're right.
They smashed them. And basically, we got severely pantsed, I'd say. We still, just like our team of current day form, we kicked 16 goals, 11, 107. But they kicked 23 goals, 7, 145. So we lost by 38 points.
How good was that last turn, mate? We kicked
7-5. Yeah, and that's the thing is that Port Adelaide keeps on doing it. But, we play in quarters and spurts. Like, we had that third quarter against Brisbane the week before. And, but that in that game against Essendon, it was the second quarter. They kicked six goals in, 15 minutes. And we were to end the second quarter, and kind of just blew us out of the park. And we just couldn't arrest it for the rest of the game. So, yeah. And then we ended up getting it to an acceptable margin in 38 points. But still, it was a pretty poor game by us. And
big Stewie Duke kicked six goals.
Yeah. But usually when you kick 16 goals, the majority of the time you end up winning. So...
Do you know, to take you back to the week before, that Port-Brisbane game was at Footy Park, right? Yep. 25,000 on a 7 p.m. game on Saturday night. Can you believe that? That I couldn't remember Saturday nights that empty. Mm. 25,000.
Yeah, I think guys hadn't stepped back on the... We had to start winning games before we got those 46,000 crowds like we did to play Brisbane, I think it was 2003. No, the last game of the season. I think it was 2003. They had 46,000 fans packed in the footy park, and it was amazing to be at. But I think
what do you reckon we'll get this week?
GWS, I don't know. I think we'll still get 40,000, 38, 40,000.
I reckon we'll get 35.
Yeah, I'm thinking 35. I reckon 35. Has anyone asked
GWS won't pull, they will not pull 1,000 people through the gate. And I suppose it depends a bit on the weather, but I like that time slot, that 4 o'clock Saturday time slot. And it's good to go into the city, have a look around, do whatever, go to the game, a few beers.
That'll be good. I'll be watching from home.
Oh, you're not going this week?
Nah, not at all. I'll be watching it from.
Yeah, am I going? Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. I'll be there. Yeah. We should catch up, Fox.
Yeah, for sure.
Have a beer.
Do you want to arrange that after the show or now?
Yeah, let's just do it now. So
no one else is listening.
What time do you reckon? Like, we'll just catch up before or half time? Or...
Where's Marchie?
Where is he? That is the question.
Call in, Marchie. Letting everyone down.
Okay, I've got a joke for you.
All right. Go
can
with
I say
it.
That one? I can't say that one. I've texted out. He's declined it. I've got a crap one. Why was Helen Keller a bad driver?
She couldn't see.
Nah, because she's a woman.
Oh, burn! Lauren's going to hate you. Don't hate on the women. Oh, my goodness. Burn. Oh, we've had a couple of tweets about the phone book. Apparently, JT wants to know what's a phone book. And we've got Daniel March to come on.
Gen 1.
Marchy!
G'day.
Hey, can you turn your radio off, please? We're getting a bit of feedback there, Chief.
Oh, is that the delay? There's a bit of a delay there.
Yeah, so that they don't have to hear your profanity.
G'day, ladies.
Did you cut out my joke?
Hey?
No, I didn't cut out your joke.
Did you hear my joke, Marchy?
Nah. Would have been awesome. Rubbish anyway.
No, it was offensive to women.
Oh, well, can you tell it again?
Yeah. I didn't condone it. No,
it's not like the monk one, is it?
I'm going to say it again. Why can't Helen Keller drive?
Because she's a woman.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard listeners, I don't condone that sort of behaviour. I love women.
I think I heard the punchline, just not the start bit.
Okay.
Marchie, how's the ashes going, buddy?
So when are we catching up at the footy, Fox? Did we sort that out?
No, we didn't, but we should all catch up.
You should get a corporate box and take Foxy in with you.
Yeah, mate, I'm sitting out there in like my technical mountaineering gear. It was that cold, Gore-Tex City, still shivering, Arctic conditions. Marchie's there in bloody thongs and shorts.
I was in a suit at the urinal.
And just laughs at me. Got a corporate box, mate. I'm texting him. How about lifting to that corporate box? No response. Just sitting there drinking his free beer.
Hey, I reckon Rick should give us a corporate box for our Port Fam Radio brilliance. What do you reckon?
Yeah, you'll come way
out. Oh, maybe?
Nah.
No, Al and I are going to a game in Queensland in a couple of weeks, aren't we, mate?
Yeah, we're going up to the Gold Coast game. Are you going, Fox?
Gold Coast. Nah.
How much money does a club get from that?
Oh!
Is that like... So,
we go interstate to support our club.
Yeah, but it's not a financial contribution, is it?
Last weekend, going interstate again. Supporter. Right?
It went real well last week, didn't it, Phil?
Yeah, no, it was fantastic.
You do know the club would literally get more money if you bought a dog membership.
I got one for my wife.
Oh! Oh! Wow.
And then I looked over my shoulder.
You're really trying to alienate our female demographic there, my friend.
So, Marchie, Ashley.
Yes, please. Do we have to talk about it?
Yeah.
Who was the one that said England would win? I'm just curious to know.
The most unpatriotic person on the planet.
I reckon it was me, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you didn't with any conviction.
But you also support West Indies and India and Sri Lanka and Zimbabwe and South Africa against Australia.
India, South Africa and England.
Yeah, and he thinks Dale Steyn's the best cricketer in the world, so that says a lot about him, doesn't it?
No, I said he's the best fast bowler in the world. That was 2 years ago. He wouldn't be anymore.
Who would be now, folks?
Oh,
no.
I would have said Stark, but...
Oh, please.
Hey, Joe Root, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth, would it?
I don't think he could get one either at the moment with a head like that.
What a batsman.
Ellen DeGeneres, yeah. He tore us apart this series. He's Ellen DeGeneres lookalike with 130 again.
So, Marchie, what's the deal with Australia's inability to handle a swinging ball? What, do you put duct tape on it or what?
Well, I think it's a case of, you know, in the backyards around Australia, we haven't done enough of the electrical tape on one side of the ball. Now, the problem is it's always been an issue for the Aussies, and I guess it was just masked in the first couple of tests to particularly, you know, I think England will be ruining the decision to actually not play on these sort of wickets for the whole series, because they've just torn us apart. The fact that, you know, everyone having a look through the dismissals, everyone was caught behind the wicket. Every single bloke was caught behind the wicket or bowled in the first dig. So it really shows that inability to play against the swinging and seaming ball. So what was with Michael Clarke's shot in that first innings, boys? What do you think? Where he's just had a woolly whoosh at one when he's on 10 and played a real captain's knock.
That's why he's not captain anymore, champ. He realised that he doesn't have the heart to play for Australia anymore.
He is for one more test. What's Michael Clarke's legacy? Because I think we can sit there and we can look at it in two ways, and it's been fairly polarised across the media over the last few days about him as a person. But what do you think his real legacy is now he leaves the game?
I don't know what his legacy is, but
blonde tips.
I've never seen an Aussie captain get slammed in the media like he has after like a day after retiring. He's not well liked, is he?
I think there's a lot more to be played out on this one too. I think the skeletons will start to come out of the closet, and I think we'll get a real idea why we've had such a capitulation in this series. For me, I think our batting was always suspect coming into this series. Steve Smith, while he's been sensational, has he really got a technique to bat at three? Don't know. Yeah, he made a double hundred he made 270 in one test match at Lord's, but then for the rest of the series, he's only made another 90 runs. So it really shows, you know, he's averaging 45 for the series after making 219 or something in 70. It's just not good enough. He's not good enough to bat at three, and I think there needs to be a significant overhaul of the whole batting lineup. Not just with Clark going, but there needs to be a considerable clean out, not dissimilar to the forward line at Port Adelaide at the moment.
Needs more Shane Watson, right?
Nah, there's no room for Watson. I think if they're going to do it, they've got to do it properly, and they've got to clean out the whole side. I think, blokes like Sean Marsh, your day's done, mate. You're no good. He's got all the gear but no idea.
Weren't you the one calling for him to get a crack and whatnot?
Yeah, but I wasn't calling that hard. It's only because he's the only bloke in the squad. You know, the thing is, he has all the potential in the world, but he just doesn't cut it in international cricket. And I think his international career needs to be over. Ian Downsborough, yeah. He should come in for Paddy Ryder at the moment. Josh Hayes. There's got to be some changes to the side for the future, because otherwise we're just going to get pantsed by England again in 4 years when we go back over there. There's talk about them using the English ball here in Australia to see how that goes. So I'll be interested to see how that all happens.
Why though? I mean, England suffer the disadvantage when they use a kookaburra over here. So
yeah, I know. You look at Anderson, his bowling record in Australia is just shit ass, and there's a reason for that, because you know the advantage in international cricket, I think, is gone. Certainly to the home sides even more than it ever has. But it's just a lack of being able to adjust to those conditions. And for the batsmen, I don't think it's mental. I actually think it's technique. I think it boils down to when you have a look at the dismissals in the first innings, everyone's bats in front of their pads, you know, they're leading with the bat, not, you know, playing the ball under their eyes. I think
you've been watching Ian Healy's tips, haven't you?
Oh, Ian Healy, don't get me started about him. If he's not the worst commentator in all of sports, I don't know who he is.
Phil's been getting joke advice, humour advice off Ian Healy with his sexist jokes.
We just had a tweet in, Margie, and he said Clark's not the blame for the capitulation. T20 batting in test matches is the problem. No patience and no defensive play.
Yeah, I reckon that's probably fair. I think... Yeah, Clark's gung-ho attitude in that first dig didn't really lead by example as the skipper. But, yeah, you can't sit there and put that as the main reason. You look at some of the dismissals of some of the guys, and they are certainly a lot more accustomed to playing one-day or T20 cricket. And I think a few blokes need to take a leaf out of the book and actually go over and play some county cricket in England. You know, you look at a bloke like Chris Rogers. He's made over 10,000 first-class runs in England. There's a reason why he's our leading run scorer this series, because he just consistently leaves good balls. He plays the ball under his eyes. But it's a technique thing, definitely, and a lot of that does stem from T20 cricket. I think they've got to make some significant changes. My side moving forward has 6 changes from this 11, I think, needs to be for the first test in Bangladesh in a couple of months' time.
6 changes?
Yeah, so my side, obviously, Rogers retires, so you bring in a bloke like Jordan Silk. Jordan Silk plays for Tasmania.
What about Travis Head?
No, he hasn't made a first-class 100. So Travis needs to give the selectors some more of his surname, and then he might get in the side. But basically,
I get what you did there.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah,
wasn't it? That was all right, wasn't it?
Pardon the pun.
Yeah, but then you've got to have blokes like Joe Burns, who, you know, he made 250s in his last test inning. Test match, he didn't even make the touring party. So he's got to bat at 3. Then you have Smith at 4, where he's a bit more accustomed, and he's not going to get in to the swinging ball quite so early unless you get rolled for bloody 60. And then have blokes like Usman Khawaja come in. Mitch Marsh, I think, needs to be given a decent crack at it. But I think it's also time for our bowling stocks to get turned over a bit. I think it's time for Mitchell Johnson to probably look at pulling the plug as well. He's, you know, 32, really? 33. Yeah. He's 32, 33, and I think if we're going to do a proper clean out, we've got to do it properly, and we've got to really change the bowling attack as well and bring blokes like James Pattinson and Paddy Cummings in.
Marchie, can I ask you a question? Is winning the toss more important in England than Australia?
Yes. No, it's equally important, but it's just a different decision that you make, isn't it? Because in Australia, you win the toss and bat. That's what you always do. You always bat first in Australia. You think about bowling, but then you bat. Whereas in England, you've actually got to make a decision.
Yeah.
I think that's where the challenge is, because in the third test on a bit of a green deck, you know, we decided, we'll actually have a bat, and got rolled for 130.
You so never see a pitch as green as what that last pitch was on the first day.
No.
In Australia.
No, you don't. But that's the thing. Like, Australians are a bit arrogant from that perspective, and you're brought up even from grassroots. You win the toss and you bat. You never put the other side in. You always win the toss and bat. So I think it is more it's probably just a decision you got to make in England, where in Australia it's just as prevalent, but it's a case of, we'll have a bat.
Yeah.
So, not a good series. I mean, the girls are in action today, so that's something we've got to hold on to. But that's about it, boys.
What are you going to hold on to?
The Ashes. The girls are – the Southern Stars are playing today, Nick.
Right.
We're none for 48. I'm just trying to hold on to something here, because I can't talk to anyone about sport at the moment. It's really shit. Nah.
Daniel Ricciardo's doing poorly in the F1.
That's not even a sport. That's a hobby.
That's right. And our Twitter followers have also agreed with you there, Marchie, in regards to Ian Healy being the worst commentator. Bang on the money. And Luke Darcy is the footy equivalent to Healy.
If you have a look on my Twitter feed, go a little bit further back past the abusive comments from the weekend, you'll see my disdain for Ian Healy, where every time he comes on, I basically tweet, "Can we please get rid of this dickhead?" Because that's what he is. He's useless. He's out of touch. But wasn't that... Did you guys see that masterclass with him, Warne, and Ponting?
Yep.
Which one?
Wasn't that the biggest amount of dick swinging you've ever seen?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, neither do I. But I'm looking at your Twitter feed, and the language is a bit bad at times. Yeah. I'm offended, so I'm going to follow you.
Thanks.
What's your Twitter handle, Marchie?
At Marchie Tweets.
At Marchie Tweets. So if you want to get some insightful information about life, follow Marchie Tweets, and
not really insightful, boys. Let's be honest. Hey, you guys didn't really touch on it before. I wanted to know more about what your takes individually are about Paddy Ryder, because you kind of glossed over it.
Well, yeah, he's had a good last couple of weeks besides last weekend. He's been solid.
I think he's had a serviceable season. If you picked him up anywhere between sort of, you know, pick 5 and pick 30 in the draft, you'd say he's had a good contribution. But giving away 2 draft picks, you expect a hell of a lot from that person, because if they don't come off, it cripples you in the long term.
He needs to do something good in the next couple of years.
Can him and Lobe play on the same side? Because I think that's one of our deficiencies this year, to be honest. I don't think they can both play on the same side. Particularly if we get Dixon, and I agree with Fox, don't mortgage the future for him. But if we get Dixon, can those 3 big 200-centimetre players play on the same side?
No. Lobe is not mobile enough. He's the issue for me. It's not the other two. Dixon and Ryder could play with anyone. You know, him and Westhoff are really mobile and versatile, and I think Ryder up forward adds a lot. But for me, the issue is the first ruck. That's what we've got to sort out.
Do you think it says something about Lobe getting subbed out on the weekend?
Oh, it says a massive amount. You know, that the fall from grace this year from a few players, such as Jonas and Lobe, are the first two that spring to mind. You know, massive, like...
Well, Jonas hasn't played for how many weeks?
Yeah, about 5, isn't it?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
He had an injury and
Sydney.
Then...
He got dropped,
but then he didn't play for the Maggies for a couple.
No, he was injured, and then he went back through the Magpies and hasn't come back into the side.
See, now, I reckon he was dropped, and they were saying he was going to play for the Maggies, and then they didn't play him.
I'm pretty sure he was...
Look, I don't want to fight,
tops,
Nick.
But
I don't want to fight.
It was an injury that kept him out for about 3 weeks.
Either way, he's been pretty average.
Yeah, Marchi, I don't know. Lobe, big problems. We're getting spanked in the middle, and a large part of that's because of Lobe.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think they can both play on the same side together. I think Lobe either needs to be the lone man and play the role that he did last year, because he can't play forward, because he can't take a contested mark.
Nah. He's the worst mark in the side, and he's 200 centimetres.
Yeah. You know, it's past 9 o'clock, and we literally only did 2 bloody 2 rounds.
Yeah, who cares?
Do you care about
that? Talking to March is more fun.
Well, I suppose.
Did anyone get your quiz question out?
Nah,
I know the answer.
You would know the answer.
Can I tweet in?
No, you can't. But we haven't had a tweet in. We've only had... Thunder Power has basically said that his new guess is 15.
Still wrong.
I think we should give him the voucher because we finished for the night. I think he deserves the voucher.
He's spent 50 cents on messages, hasn't he? Or did he tweet?
That's tweeting, Fox. Yeah.
Same thing.
Did you get charged for tweets, mate? You're right.
Yeah, Fox doesn't even know how to turn Twitter on.
Oh, I'm in it now, mate. I'm looking.
He doesn't even know how to turn his wife on, let alone Twitter.
That's pretty good. I've known your wife.
Can I use that one?
You have, Foxy.
Huh?
I've known your wife longer than what you have, mate.
Yeah.
Hey.
Wasn't for me.
At Marchy Tweets, is that it?
All right. What are we doing, guys? Are we winding this up? Because...
I reckon got to give the cookies to Thunder Power now. You can't
really?
Be thinking. Oh.
Well, what are you going to do? Or roll it over and have $50 next week?
Well, 20 plus 20 is 40, but...
All right. Well, I thought it was 25, sorry. I'm just the ring in here.
So what are we doing now?
Phil, what are you doing?
Thunder Power. Thunder Power, you've got the voucher. If you could send us a message at Port Fan Radio on Twitter... with your details, and we can organise for the voucher to be available from you with David Banner down
details,
at the club.
Man. His name's Phil Swanson, so just set that up.
Phil Swanson,
You can get yourself a nice skinny latte there as well. Now they got the coffee machine back.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't go one of them, would you, Marchie?
I'm more of a chai soy latte sort of guy myself.
Skinny in March, you don't tend to get used in the same.
Oh, jeez.
Love a beer, don't you, mate?
Oh, I'm going to smash you on Saturday when I see you.
Yeah. No, no chance of getting that caught.
That sounded slightly erotic then.
Yeah, I'm going to slam you. Hey, but also there is some new artwork down at the club in the Bob McLean Sports Bar that has been put up, which looks pretty good.
Looks fantastic.
And the Buffet Band Night featuring Reload is on the 22nd of August. So get down there and have a bit of a look.
The Buffet and, Band, are they Adelaide's new version of Clearway, are they?
Yeah, they might be some members of Clearway, I think. No, I'm not sure, but
Adelaide's
and then,
party band.
That's right.
You used to go watch them at Joplin's, didn't you, Marchie?
No, New York Bar and Grill, actually.
New York Bar and Grill. Isn't that like a cafe now down at Marion?
Yeah, it's now a cafe primo.
How'd that go out of business?
Oh, that place
was awesome.
But, hey, if Shenanigans Irish Pub can go out of business, so can they. Yeah.
Mate, you could not walk through that place. Like, you had to line up for hours to get in New York Bar and Grill back in the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
I won a J-Lo CD single on the up on stage one night there.
Proud moment.
That's all right. Wow, that's amazing. Well,
straight to the pool room.
It's your ringtone now, isn't it?
No, it's the Western Bulldogs theme song at the moment.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing this down.
Thanks, yeah.
Cheers. Well, thanks, guys. Cheers for the next week. You're benched. Wednesday night, tomorrow night, we've got the Maggie's Hour with Matt and Harold as they discuss the North Adelaide game from the weekend for the Magpies. And then Thursday night, the Port Adelaide preview of the GWS game at Adelaide Oval with Macca and the Sultry Tones of Portia and a special guest from 8 till late on Port Fan Radio. So, yeah, Rick's taking a bit of a sabbatical. He's got some things going on outside. Yeah, salmon shirts. Too many salmon shirts, I think. And so he's got he's taken a month off.
Can own too many salmon shirts?
The answer to that is no.
Yeah. I've got to own a couple, Marchie?
In my wardrobe. Hey?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're less of a man now that I know this.
Nothing wrong with salmon, mate.
Salmon's so 1990s.
Real men wear pants.
But like, you know when you're wearing... Like, he would have known he would have got a bit of TV time. So that's his shirt that he's picked out. He's gone into his closet. Yep, I'm bringing out the salmon shirt. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you gotta love it. What else is he going to wear?
He could have worn a Port Fan Radio t-shirt.
What, he would have...
Keep it simple. Do some weights and wear a muscle top, mate.
He would have done the fox and worn a black button-up shirt with a bright orange tie or something.
And let's reverse back. I want a Port Fan Radio t-shirt, and we'll wear it to the game. Someone will be like, "Are you that cool Phil guy from Port Fan Radio?" I'll be like,
"You're
the
bald guy."
And he'll put out his hand like Foxy to Steve Williams, and I'll just look at him with absolute disdain and keep walking.
But how's the one listener going to pick you out of 50,000 people?
Easy, it's his mum.
I'm a good-looking bald bloke. Check out the side. I'm the real muscular bald guy.
Yeah,
muscles.
Well, guys, thanks very much for coming on. Thanks for our listeners. If you've got any feedback on the banter that has gone on tonight,
pretty sure any feedback we're going to get is on the joke, which I do not condone in any way.
The joke. Yes. Did you see the other jokes I sent you, Nick?
They were worse.
Yeah. I've got better ones, but people are stopping me saying them.
Maybe just try not to offend people next time.
Well, thanks, right, guys, and go the power.
Catch ya.
Bye-bye.